Well, I enjoyed that. One of those times that I feel so privileged and blessed to be a pastor. And I had every intention of mentioning this before we went back, and I seemed to be getting so forgetful about things, but I did want to let everybody know that Brother Jonathan elected to wait till next week because his sister Amber was out of town, and he wanted her to be here for his baptism. So we're certainly looking forward to that next week, and pray that the Lord will perhaps give us more by then. So, but I'm thankful for everyone that's here today, and those who came made a special effort to come and witness this wonderful event today. I want to share some scripture with you this morning for a little while from the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. If you would like to read with me, please turn to Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 34. Mark 8, 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And I'd like to take just a few moments today to speak to those of you that are here this morning that have not experienced God's saving grace. If you are lost today and without God, I want to beg your attention for a few moments of time. I want you to consider God's Word with me here this morning. And as we read in the first chapter of Isaiah, where God said, Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And in that verse it said, Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. I'm telling you today, God can change a person. God can change you today. God can take you from your lost and ruined condition and by His grace make you His child and give you a new nature, create in you a new nature, make a new creature out of you, and give you eternal life and a home in heaven when this life is over. I know that today by what God's Word teaches me, and I also know that today experimentally, that God is able to save. The Bible tells us that He's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto Him by Jesus Christ. And so I want you to think about with me for a little while, I want you to think about this thought. The best thing that could possibly happen to you. There's a lot of things in the world today that people are striving to be. And I know that when young people are growing up, they go here in our country especially, they have great access to education. They can go and they can enroll and they can learn things through the schools, and you can after high school go and into the colleges, into the universities, and take advanced training and begin to study and begin to learn things that perhaps you have chosen for your life, some type of degree or occupation or something that you want to do, and you're striving for that, to make that goal and working hard towards that. And certainly there's a lot of different things from a secular viewpoint anyway. There's a lot of different things that you can be in this world. But I'll tell you, there's something that exceeds all of those things. There's something that's far greater than all of those things. And that is what God is able to make out of you. And we read in the book of Isaiah there about the potter and the clay. And certainly God is our Father, and He is the potter. And if we will allow God, and you know, this is true for those who are seeking that need to be saved, and this is also true for those who have been saved and have a desire to allow God to have right away in their lives. If we will allow God to do that, if we will submit ourselves unto God, He will take us and He will make us and He will mold us into exactly what He would have us to be. And so you can rise to great heights, as I said, in the secular realm. There are great things that can be accomplished. But, you know, we have some old treasured hymns that we sing in our from our hymn books from time to time. And when you really think about them and you really think about the meaning of them, I believe that those that wrote those songs really knew what they were talking about when they wrote them. And you think about of all of the different things that you could be in this life, you could say, well, I'm a physician, or I'm this or that in the secular world, but we have a song that we sing from time to time, and this is, for me today, this is truly how I feel in my heart. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be a child of God. I'd rather have the blessings of God upon my life than to have all of the goods of this world, than to have all of the money that I could possibly have in this world. Jesus here asked the question, and if you think about this, and I know that we can, these things, we might perhaps just skim over them and not think very deeply about them, but if you really think about what Jesus was asking here, when He asked this question, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you stop and think about that really deeply for just a moment, and that's a big thought, to think about gaining the whole world, to think about owning and having access to everything that's in the world. What if you gained all of the money that's in the world today? What if you gained all of the authority that exists among men today? What if you gained all the fame that exists among people today? What if you became the most famous person in the world? If there was nobody on the face of the earth that didn't know who you were, that didn't know your name. And I mean, there's a lot of things when you think about that. There's a lot of things included in that question. What if you gained the whole world? What if you owned every piece of property in the world? What if you were the owner of every house that's in the world? What if all of these businesses that we see out here, you know, that some of them are making money just left and right? What if you were the owner of all of those things? What if you gained the whole world, if it was yours to do with what you would, but lost your soul? What would it profit? That was the question that Jesus put forth. What would it profit? What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul. And I'm going to tell you today what the answer is to that. It's a very simple answer. It would not profit you anything. Amen. Not anything. And I want you to understand today that because there are things that the devil, if he's given just a little bit of leeway, there are things that he will use to hinder you. There are things that he will put before you and entice you with them and try to hinder you from seeking after God for salvation. But I want you to know something today, friend. There's nothing that you'll ever have in this world. There's nothing that you could ever possibly gain in this life that is important as your eternal, immortal soul. Amen. I'm preaching today to an eternal bound people. I'm not sure today if everybody here believes that or not. But I want you to know something today, that it's the absolute truth. God's word teaches us that very plainly, that we were made in the image and after the likeness of God, and we are an eternal being. When these bodies, and we know that they're going to return to the dust one day from where they were taken, the scriptures teach us that very plainly, that this outward man, Paul said, it's perishing. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. There is a part of all of us, my friends, that is going to live on for all of eternity. We as human beings, we have an eternal existence. We have within us a spirit that will live on and on and on. And you will dwell for eternity either in heaven or in hell. That's it. That's what God's word plainly teaches us. And so, what will you do? What could you possibly trade for that which is eternal? I'll tell you, people, in the world today, when they get established, when they get education, and I'm not speaking against the importance of education today, and I think you understand that. But there are people today, when they reach what they wanted to do, when they reach their goal through education, they get that job that they want. They are able to make income and make gain, and maybe they get that house that they want to live in, and they become content with things, and they think, I've got it made. I've got, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. But let me tell you something, friends, today about the things of this life, about those material things of this life. I want you to know something. First of all, today, they're not going to last very long. You're not going to have them very long. The Bible teaches me that our life is a vapor. It just appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And Jesus cautioned people not to lay up your treasures on the earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. And there's not anything that you have. There's not anything that you possess. Listen, you can buy the most advanced security system that you would care to buy for your home, and I'll guarantee you there's people that can still get in and they can still take away from you what you possess. We don't have anything in this world. There's none of our material possessions that we have that are safe and secure. Don't deceive yourselves and think that there is. The Bible teaches us, in fact, the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was a point made in both of those to teach this very thing, that when we came into this world, we came in with nothing. Amen. Nothing. Now, I know something today about every one of us that we were all the same in this. There wasn't one of us that was even born into this world with clothes on our body. I mean, we came in with nothing, literally nothing. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, we came into this world with nothing, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. We came in here not owning a thing. We may gain some things and have them in our possession and in our care for the short time that we live here in this world. But when it comes time to lay down the walks of this life, we're going to leave those things behind. And you're not taking one of those things out of this world with you. I remember hearing one time about a man that had died. And when his will was read, somebody asked the question, well, how much did he leave behind? He was interested in knowing, you know, the dollar amount of how much this man possessed and how much he had left behind. And when the question was asked, how much did he leave behind? The answer came, he left it all. He left it all. That's what we're going to do. There's too much emphasis in the lives of people on the temporal things of this world. Too much. Too much trust placed in those things. What if you had them all? What if you had what you possess? And even if we don't look outside of this room here today, what if you had what you now possess and what everybody else here just in this sanctuary today possesses? You'd own a lot of material, wouldn't you? Just among this small group of people. But if you did, what would it profit you to have all of that and to lose your own soul? We read about a man in the Bible in the 12th chapter of Luke. Jesus spoke a parable there about a rich man. And the Bible says that the ground of this rich man brought forth plentifully, and he had such a great harvest that he had a dilemma. He had to figure out what he was going to do with all of his goods, because his barns filled up so much that he ran out of room. He didn't have any place to store his fruit. And so his plan was to build out, to tear down those barns and to build bigger barns. Listen, people in this world today, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, there's so much greed in the world today. And when people do get things and they possess things, does it make them content? Does it satisfy them? It certainly doesn't satisfy their soul, but what they want is more and more and more, because listen, those temporal things do not satisfy. They don't satisfy. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves today, I think probably just about all of us here today, if we're honest, if we go look at our the things that are in our houses, we got what we need, don't we? Actually, we got more than we need. But you ask yourself the question and answer it honestly in your heart. Don't you find yourself wanting to get other stuff? We're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with those things. But I'll tell you what, the Lord did something for me in 1973 that satisfied my soul, and I've been satisfied with it, with what He gave me ever since. Ever since. He satisfies, the Bible says, the longing soul. This man, he had everything he needed already. His ground already brought forth plentifully, and yet he was out there, he was growing more. He was growing more stuff, and then he got to where he couldn't even have any place to keep it, and so he said, well, I'll fix that. I'll just tear down those barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll lay up many goods for many years, and I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, because thou hast much goods laid up for many years. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be. Amen. You know what Solomon taught us in the book of Ecclesiastes? One of these days, whatever possessions I have, I'm going to leave them to somebody. I'm going to leave them behind to somebody. I'm sure not going to need them. I'll tell you what, when I leave the world, I got everything I need, Brother Wheat. The Lord gave me everything I need for all eternity. I'm not going to need any of those things. I'm going to leave them behind to somebody. And Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, the things that we leave behind, he said, how do we know whether or not the person we leave them to will be wise with them or will be foolish with them? You know, everything that we do possess in this world that we leave behind, we don't even leave them behind with any guarantee that those that we leave them to will use them the way that we would have wanted them to be used. We don't even have any guarantee of that. I'm telling you, friends, you need the Lord. You need to be saved. You need that only God is able to give you. What if you had it all and lost your own soul? What would it profit you? What would it profit you? Nothing. Nothing. Because you will have lost the greatest thing that you could possibly have. There's nothing. Friends, there's nothing that will replace your eternal soul. You may be here today, and you may think, well, you know, I don't believe this stuff. Well, I pray today that God will change your heart. Amen. Because it's true. Amen. We're going to eternity. We're going to dwell forever, either in heaven for those who are prepared or in eternal hell and damnation for those who fail to get right with God. But you can rest assured, when we leave this life, it's not over. It's not over. Death is not the annihilation of a human being. It's not over. We're going to dwell eternally. Every one of us that's here today, we are going to leave time and we're going to step out into eternity when God calls. And you're either going to be ready, you're either going to be saved by God's grace and one of His children and ready for eternal bliss in heaven, or you're going to leave the world lost without God and you're going to split hell wide open and be there for all eternity. One or the other. There's no in between. There is no in between. There's a heaven to be gained, and there's a hell to be shunned. The best thing that you could ever possibly have is to be saved by the grace of God. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I'm waiting, yielded, and still. Let's sing. Lost friend, we invite you to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our mourner's benches up here. They're here for you if you want to use them to pray. You're more than welcome to come here and pray. But I want you to know something today. We don't invite you to a mourner's bench. We invite you to come to Jesus. We urge you to come to Jesus. You can use the benches here. You can use the bench where you're at. You can do whatever you need to do. But the invitation is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the one. He's the one that can give you eternal life. While we stand and sing, God bless you all.
$375 in the church hymnal. $375.